Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of sadha, or spiritual faculty of sadha, which is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Then from there, develop the virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo A Di Đà Phật. 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 Namo Bổn Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Bổn Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Bổn Sư Yên Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Namo Phổ Phụ Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Machapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang 不加巴加那摩特曼万那甘达古诺贝当耶当格苏玛三特丁不加亚米摩尼达斯西里巴达萨罗罗嘿不解密不当格苏美那尼那本尼那麦地那是何土摩康不巴米拉亚蒂亚塔伊当咪卡哟塔塔亚蒂维纳萨巴王阿迪瓦塞图诺班提巴尼扬巴里卡皮汤Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamangอาดิวาสิทุโนบันเทโบจานาปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุโมเทมังนาวิวชันดิพุจาเอสเปเรชั่น based on our understanding of the significance of all those puja offering significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are going to, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on the path and fruitions soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferred merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pajemi Dhammang Pajemi Sanghang PajemiOkay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, eh? Body and mind, and maintain some form of attention or attentiveness. Then we can start our meditation. Today is the 2nd of May, 2017, Tuesday. Most likely today is our last session of the Diamond Sutta. After that, we may continue with either the life of the Buddha and his essential teachings based on the book by Narada. We hope to. Oh yeah, so we cancel the class. You all can go for visa. Then we go and look for that book. that book by Narada. We try to get it. Then after that, maybe we can continue with the 50 Divan Samadhi on the Surangama Sutta. Last time Surangama Sutta we finished, we complete, but we just go through the 50 Divan Samadhi very briefly. We didn't go into detail. So there are quite a number of Kainamita who have expressed their interest on this 50 Divan Samadhi. And we have the English translation from Xuanhua. It's a very thick book though. Those who understand Mandarin, the book is good because it's both Mandarin and English. It's quite a thick book, I think about 1.5 inch thick. So this will bring forth the condition for people to understand why thought-based meditation leading to energy field is deviant samadhi leading to all the deviation. And one can easily get trapped in samatha meditation or energy field, concentration, one-pointedness, or jhanic based meditation. Those type of meditation are very popular before the advent of the Buddha's teaching, especially from India, the Hindu teaching. Then later on also other type of teaching. Okay, now you can have your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. For those who still need to train your mind, you train. Those who still need to develop your spiritual faculty, you also can continue to develop them. Then there are one or two who wants to develop the mindfulness through bowing. You can do it too. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 20 or 25 minutes. Then after that, you can slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. those who still want to meditate, you can continue for those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Yeah? Stabilize them and make use of them to develop the daily mindfulness cultivation in daily life. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavido Dhammasarati Deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati
Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Santitiko Akariko
Paseko Opanayiko Chattang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Michipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Huneyo pahuneyo dakineyo jalikaraniyo Punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami. Jemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with Diamond Sutta. Very likely today it will be our last session. We are at chapter 30. Let us turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 178. Also, the last Sunday sharing, that one you must go back and listen to it. It is on the Sixpatriya Platform Sutta. But that day, because the condition was such, the sharing was very good, and it summarized all of the cultivation in a very deep and profound yet penetrative way. So you go back, I think, listen to it, then you can attentively write down what you can understand in the note form. Then the whole lot of cultivation will be very clear to you. It involves the stages of cultivation leading to the understanding of this Huineng's teaching. The Platform Sutta, Sixpatriya Platform Sutta, the ultimate teaching of Huineng, where he point direct to the true mind. And the three basic characteristics of his teaching that points direct to the true mind, they are very important. They are like what we discussed the last two Tuesdays. You look at the whiteboard. As written here, these are the three characteristics of Huineng's teaching, or three bases of Huineng's teaching. Because his teaching points directly to the true mind. The true mind is your silent mind, meditative mind. So this is the one that is aware in stillness, without thought, completely silent. So this one will have the ability to awaken, to meditate and to understand. Then the characteristics of this true mind is, the first one is no thought. That understanding is very important. You can have a free mind that is without thought. That is the true mind. And to do that, you need to have the spiritual faculties developed very stable. Then your daily mindfulness will be very stable. That's why the Buddha called it heedfulness. Heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Ever mindful means continuous mindfulness throughout the day, during your waking moment, followed by your later part when you are able to go into your sleeping or resting moment. Then after you have the ability to develop this first characteristic of no thought, which is the silent mind in the meditative state, you will understand many things. You can see things as they are and awaken to the truth. You will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. Then you will understand the meaning of the second characteristic, which is you cultivate following Diamond Sutta, which we have already almost finished the discussion, where you cultivate without mark. That's why the second characteristic is from no thought, you realize no mark. No mark means there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living beings to be liberated, no mark of self, life and Dhamma and all those within the conditioned world. When you have this ability, your cultivation will progress at supersonic speed or exponential speed, because this understanding of no mark will develop like what the Diamond Sutta has already explained. The field of merits, wholesomeness, blessings that come with this type of cultivation and understanding is way, way, way beyond the normal type of cultivation. And the merits that normal beings within the conditioned world, whatever Dana Parami that you offer, even the seven treasures in this universe, if you were to offer them to all the Buddhas of the 3,000 world system, the merits that you receive can't even compare to a cultivator who understands this teaching, the cultivation of no mark. Means from the Diamond Sutta, if you can understand just any of the four stanzas, then you use it to teach to the world. The merits and blessing that you receive is way surpass or beyond those developed by any cultivator who has all the precepts, who has all the what they call virtue to make offering of the seven treasures to all the Buddhas of the 3,000 world system. They still have no comparison to that cultivator who understand the four stanzas and share it with the world. So this second characteristic of no mark, once you perfected it, it will lead you to the ability to have the third characteristic of Huining's teaching, where you can be in that state of continuous awareness or mindfulness. Then you can cultivate the third characteristic of Huining's teaching, which is non-dwelling. The mind does not dwell anymore. The mind will only dwell if you stay somewhere within the conditioned world. That's why every moment of perception, if you lost yourself without awareness, you will dwell there. So living being, throughout the day, you dwell everywhere. For those who know Mandarin, there is this saying that I share on Sunday. Last time they used to sing this Mandarin song. There is a verse. They say, don't go and do that. Dao chu liu qing. You understand? Everywhere also, you dwell and leave behind your love. So, this understanding of no dwelling can only arise when you have developed the first two characteristic understanding of Huining's teaching, and when you have penetrated them. Then you will have the ability, like what I used to share with you all. Your mind is throughout the day just aware. Either it is in spacious awareness without a center, or is in specific phenomenal awareness. It can be aware, it can perceive, but it doesn't dwell. It's just aware, aware, and aware. Then aware, perceive, aware, perceive, aware. Then it understands. And the understanding comes from the nature. That's why it can live like, it can act, it can do many, many things. And yet within the nature is stillness, complete silence, without any movement or activity. That's why this cultivation is the cultivation of stillness within activity. the cultivation of no movement within movement. Or like what I used to share with you all. In the midst of sound, there can be silence. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. It's the same. Okay? So this is the part, because today is the last sharing. So I want you all to develop this understanding, which is very important. The whole of the Diamond Sutta is tied up with Hui Ning's teaching. Yeah. And these are the teaching for Bodhisattvas, those who aspire to become Sama Sambuddha. You have to reach these three stages of cultivation. And stage one is already very powerful, when you can realize the state of no thought, when you can have a free mind that is fully aware without thought. That is the beginning of the real Satipatthana cultivation, the real meditative training. And to have this ability is already very, very good. And that one is mainly the sainthood way, the Theravada teaching and all those things. Then once you penetrate the sainthood way, you will start to have an understanding of no mark of a self. Then to cultivate that is another stage, which demands a lot of hard work, diligence, patience, understanding, endurance. That's why it leads to the perfection of the 10 perfection. So when you fully penetrate that one, then the 10 perfection will be perfected. Then all these three, the characteristic of Hui Ning's teaching, which is no thought, no mark, and no dwelling, they will come to fruition. And you will have the understanding of his very, very unique and profound teaching. And this will help you later on in your cultivation to fulfill your Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, followed by all the additional vow and miscellaneous vow that you can add in and develop on your own, basing on your own special unique quality and understanding. Okay, so this is just a general announcement, so that those who didn't attend the Sunday class, you can pay attention to the recorded audio file. I haven't sent it for sharing under the Maikayanamita. I will do it maybe tomorrow when I go to the office. Then after that, I will upload it onto the website. Then you all can have full access to it. Okay, now turn to page 178, chapter 30. The totality of principle and marks. Subhati, if good man or good woman were to pulverize 3,000 great thousand world system into modes of fine dust, what do you think? Would that mass of fine dust be large? Subhati said, large. Well, honored one. And why? If that mass of the fine dust mode actually existed, the Buddha would not speak of it as a mass of fine dust modes. And why? The mass of fine dust mode is spoken of by the Buddha as no mass of fine dust mode. Therefore, it is called a mass of fine dust mode. Well, honored one, the 3,000 great thousand world system are spoken of by the Tathagata as no world system. Therefore, they are called world system. And why? If world system actually existed, then there would be a totality of marks. The totality of mark is spoken of by the Tathagata as no totality of mark. Therefore, it is called a totality of mark. Subhati, the totality of mark cannot be spoken of, but people of the common sort greedily attached to such thing. So this is the sutta. So it is the same as earlier one. They use these words to play with the ultimate truth, the unconditioned and the conditioned. So when you understand both the condition and the unconditioned, then you will find meaning in what has been spoken. If you cannot understand the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma, then you cannot understand what is being stated in the sutta. It's like contradictory. Yeah. So now we go to the commentaries. Commentaries by Shen Hua. If we travel by rocket for a great length of time, we would only cover a short distance compared to the extent of the 3,000 great thousand world system. Although those world systems are big, they are created from modes of fine dust. The largest things are created from the smallest. Although one mode of dust is small, many of them together become a great thousand world system. In the same way, the merits and virtue we cultivated comes from small deeds. By doing many good deeds, we become adorned with 10,000 virtues. You should not think you need not bother with small good deeds, or that you can get away with doing small bad ones. Many seemingly inconsequential good deeds will accumulate into great goodness. Although you may only do minor bad deeds, many will accumulate into great evil. In just the same way, a whole world system comes from a collection of small dust mote. This one I also don't know the Mandarin word. In the is it Yao Qing period? What is the Mandarin word? Yao Qing. What period is that? Is it one of the dynasty? Qin dynasty or what? Never mind. Anyway, it's referring to a certain period. Dayan Master Bhadra said to Dhamma Master Tao Shen, "Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Whatever is form, that is emptiness. Whatever is emptiness, that is form. Ultimately, what is form and emptiness?" So this one comes from the Heart Sutta, as we all know. So Master Shen Hua was relating to this Heart Sutta verse, but he was referring to the Yao Qing period, where Dhamma Master Bhadra said to Dhamma Master Tao Shen. Then Dhamma Master Tao Shen said, "The totality of a mass of fine dust mote is called form. The mass of fine dust mote, devoid of self-nature, is called emptiness." He said that an accumulation of fine dust had no self-nature, and that the absence of any substantial nature in the accumulation of fine dust was emptiness. Then Dayan Master Bhadra then asked, "When a mass of fine dust mote is not collected together, what is that called?" Dhamma Master Tao Shen was speechless. He did not know what to call it. Dayan Master Bhadra then said, "You only know the result of form and emptiness. You do not know the cause of form and emptiness." Then Dhamma Master Tao Shen could only nod his head, although he could speak so powerfully that even rocks nod their heads. He had nothing to say to this person. With no other alternative, he humbly asked, "Superior seated one, may I ask what a mass of fine dust mote is called when it is not collected together?" Dayan Master Bhadra replied, "Because one fine dust mote is empty, the mass of fine dust mote is also empty." He said that one fine dust mote is empty, and so all dust motes are empty. Why? Because many dust motes are created from a single mote of dust. Dayan Master Bhadra continued, "Because the mass of fine dust mote is empty, each mote of fine dust is also empty. The mass of dust motes are empty. The masses of dust motes are empty. So certainly one single dust mote must also be empty. In the emptiness of one fine mote of dust, he continued, there is no mass of fine dust mote. In the emptiness of a mass of fine dust motes, there is not a single fine dust mote of dust. So there is no emptiness and no form. Upon hearing that, Master Tao Shen knew that the doctrine Dayan Master Bhadra had spoken was deeper than the one he himself had expressed. So he bowed to him. Dayan Master Bhadra spoke, and Dayan Master Tao Shen nodded his head. The Buddha asked Subhati, if one were to pulverize the 3,000 great thousand world system into modes of fine dust, would there be a great mass of dust? Subhati said there would be much dust, but only because the fine dust mode have no substantial nature, they basically do not exist. If they did exist, the Buddha would not speak of it as a mass of fine dust. The Buddha did speak of a mass of fine dust mode, but it is only from the point of view of common people that a mass of fine dust mote actually exists. Then the next part of the sutta is no mass of fine dust mote. The fine dust basically is empty and basically is wonderful existence. Therefore, it's called a mass of fine dust mote. One can force the issue and give it a name, but it is just a name and nothing more. The 3,000 great thousand systems spoken of the Tathagata are basically non-existent. Therefore, they are called world system. It is merely a false name and nothing more. Why? If world system actually existed, then there would be a totality of marks. The totality of marks refer to the true nature. If the totality of marks actually existed, then there would that would mean the true nature actually exists. The totality of mark is spoken of by the Tathagata. The Buddha said not even the totality of mark, that is, the true nature has marks. It's no totality of mark. It also has no basic substance. The true nature is fundamentally true, but also has no false substance. Therefore, it is called the totality of mark. That is also forcing a name, totality of mark. And that is it, or that is all. Prajna is not spoken because it has no substance, and there is nothing which can be said. Subhati, the totality of mark cannot be spoken of. Sakyamuni Buddha heard Subhati's explanation and again called to him, what is called a totality of mark? I will tell you, a totality of mark is ineffable. How to pronounce it? Ineffable. What is the meaning of this word? It cannot be expressed. That is because it is a false name and nothing more. But people of common sort greedily attach to such things. Common people become attached and say, that exists, this is empty. That is true, this is false. They greedily attach to phenomena. Why? Because they become involved in views based upon discrimination which occurs in the field of a consciousness. They consider the discrimination of views and the discrimination of mark to be true. Actually, both kinds of discrimination are empty and false. So this one refers to duality. Based on what Xuanhua has expressed in the commentary, I think this is the Zen's way of presentation. But to me, these are all words, not so important. The more important one is to understand the conditioned world and the unconditioned world. Conditioned world has its conditioned dhamma, Whereas the unconditioned, it has a different set of understanding. And the Dhamma is very different. So based on the Heart Sutta, if you may recall, that's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, when he penetrated through emptiness, he came to the very important expression. He said, in true emptiness, all of the essential Dhamma that was spoken and taught by the Buddha, they don't exist. So that's why you see all these like very conflicting type of words. So when you understand the unconditioned Dhamma, which is the characteristics of a unconditioned world, which is very different from the conditioned world. So within the conditioned world, you have the Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, old age, sickness and death, birth and all those things. But within true emptiness, because it is beyond thought, beyond word, timeless, the unconditioned, there is nothing inside there. None of all those that exist in the conditioned world. So that is the more appropriate and deeper meaning that you can come out with. That is the understanding that will enable you to completely understand all those chapters within the Diamond Sutta or Prajnaparamita Sutta. Then before we start the class just now, I think Sister Alicia, Elsie, she asked me this Dhamma. He asked me to explain what is the meaning of middle path. I think it is very important for you all to develop the understanding too. So this question of the middle path or the middle way, as taught by the Buddha, has been expressed all over in the teaching and is deemed one of the most profound. And you heard of this word very often, middle path, or the middle way as taught by the Buddha. So the common understanding is just the first aspect. And like I had always explained, there is a deeper aspect, the second aspect to it. The first aspect is just to avoid the two extremes. If you read the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the opening statement by the Buddha is just this middle path, middle way. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is called the middle path or the middle way. So the Buddha reconfirmed and emphasized to the five ascetics that this is the teaching that will lead to enlightenment, awakening. And the first thing you have to understand is to avoid the two extremes. That is the first understanding of middle path. The two extremes are sensual indulgence, means one extreme, you indulge a lot in the sense realm, means sensual indulgence, like your desire, your craving, and you indulge in all the sensuality that your senses can give to you. Then the other extreme is you go for self-mortification, means you torture yourself. You go through very austere type of practices, having the wrong understanding or wrong view to believe that if you can torture yourself through endurance of all this hardship and harsh or austere type of practices, like during the early days, the Hindu practice, those who stay in northern India near to the Himalayas, they really do a lot of very austere type of practice involving self-mortification. They stand on one leg for a long period of time. Then they sit in the cold Himalayas. and a lot of other type of extreme practices, thinking that if they can endure all this, then all of the suffering that they have created, they will end one day. And after all this suffering end, they believe enlightenment in the here and the now will happen. So this is wrong view. The Buddha actually did quite a lot of this practice during the first 6 years before his enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. But he realized it doesn't lead him anywhere. He practiced a lot of austere type of practices too. That's why you saw in some of the photos of him, where the skeleton and all those things, when he was going through all those practices. Then he realized all this doesn't solve his problem, doesn't lead to the awakening that he was searching for. That's why he reverted back to eating food. Then when he did that, the five ascetics left him. But later on, after his awakening, he explained all this to them. So that first explanation of the middle path or the middle way is to avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. Then after that, you have to go beyond that. You have to transcend the duality created by form Dhamma, by the phenomenal world, by your own wrong perception and all those things. That's why Krishnamurti also explained it, but in a different way according to his understanding. He said words divide. When we perceive something, we need to use words, concept, to express what we perceive. And because words, idea, concept, they divide. They create the opposite of duality. So when duality comes about, as explained by the Buddha, it must be sati idang hoti, is it? When you create one side, when this arises, that arises. When you don't create, when this is, that is. In fact, the yin and yang teaching of Lao Tzu is the same. That's why they call it one pair, the yin and the yang, or duality. These two are the opposite, like good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, love and anger, all this. Even the gender, man and women, male, female. Then two words, they create one word, religion, they divide again. Race, they divide again. Then you have gender, you have belief system, religion and other things. So all this division created by thought, words and concept, they can bring about a lot of argument, conflict. And division is conflict. So because of that, when you have the understanding and the wisdom, when you can see things as they are, you don't divide anymore. You can transcend duality. You can transcend all phenomena. That's why the phenomenal world, they cease to have power over you when you awaken to their universal characteristics. And when you understand their characteristics of impermanent, you will understand that it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not real. It's empty. It's dependent, originating, condition arising. That's why all this points towards emptiness. That's why chapter 30, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. They came from the Heart Sutta. That in true emptiness, all this don't exist. That's why this middle path, they can lead to profound understanding. And when you have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, like I explained earlier on, to Sister Elsie. I said the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching is it is not like any ordinary teaching where they seek enlightenment. They only talk about wisdom. But when you have wisdom, if you don't have the love and the compassion and the understanding of life, you are still caught in duality. You can have very, very funny views. That's why the Buddha's type of teaching, he defined enlightenment differently. He said, those who have the Noble Eightfold Path factors, qualities, then they are enlightened ones. Means these people whom the Buddha called enlightened beings, they are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path, all the path factors, they are related to life. The first path factor is right view. Right view in regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means they are very wise. That's why they understand all of the law that governs life and existence. So they are very noble in their understanding of life. Then because of that right view, they will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and they will know how to live their life accordingly. That's why there is right livelihood. Then they will constantly arise the four right effort to purify themselves. So these type of enlightened beings, they not only are very wise, they are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they communicate with people, in the way they act and arise their speech, communication skill. Their actions are very virtuous, without negativity. Their thought process are all very pure, without evil roots, without negativity. And the way they live their life is in accordance with their understanding, their noble understanding, their right views and right understanding. Then they constantly have the four right effort to purify. Then after that, they train themselves to be mindful, to be heedful. That's why the mindfulness path factor leading to the right samadhi. They will lead to the direct seeing, awakening, wisdom. And this will complete the noble quality of an enlightened being. And if you check all the Noble Eightfold Path factors, they are not the two extreme. They don't have sensual indulgence. They don't have self-mortification. They are just middle path practices, middle way practices that lead to the understanding, the transcendence of duality. And the true understanding of no mark. They were not attached, they will not cling, they will not grasp, they will not have problems, argument, conflict, and all those things. So this is the uniqueness of the middle way or the middle path, which is the teaching of the Buddha. So it fit in, that's why I repeat them. Okay, we go to next chapter, chapter 31. Neither knowing nor seeing is produced. Subhati, if someone were to say that the view of a self, the view of others, the view of living beings, and the view of life are spoken of by the Buddha, Subhati, what do you think? Does that person understand the meaning of my teaching? No, World Honored One, that person does not understand the meaning of the Tathagata's teaching. And why? The view of a self, the view of others, the view of living beings, and the views of life are spoken of by the World Honored One as no view of self, no view of others, no view of living beings, and no view of a life. Therefore, they are called the view of self, view of others, the view of living beings, and the view of a life. Subhati, those who have resolved their mind on anuttara samyat sambohi should thus know, thus view, thus believe, and understand the Dhamma and not endow the Dhamma with marks. Subhati, the mark of the Dhamma as spoken of by the Tathagata are no mark of the Dhamma. Therefore, they are called mark of the Dhamma. So this is again the same. It is the understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned that will make you understand all this. You can follow or not? You know what is the unconditioned, isn't it? And the conditioned, isn't it? When the Buddha come to this world, it's just like my nature. It come to this world. How does it come? Yeah? How does it come? What do you need to come? Huh? A form and a mind, isn't it? That's like the Buddha has his form and mind too. They call it the Nimanakaya. Nimanakaya is the functional body that performs the function of the Buddha. Then he has a consciousness, a mind, karmically conditioned out. Then this consciousness, when you meditate, you can connect to that true nature. Then it will inherit the perfection of his spiritual teaching, Sambhogayakaya. That's why when that one comes, these two combine, it speaks the Dhamma. He becomes the Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body. So that's how it arises. So when it has this Sambhogayakaya spiritual understanding, it understands the ultimate unconditioned truth and the conditioned truth. But then the form and mind is in this existential world. Do you understand? Yeah? And to share, to teach, he need what? He need words. Understand? He need concept. That's why he needs to use mark. Understand? To share. But his ultimate understanding, he knows that these are all not real. There is no such thing. But he has to refer to them within the conditioned world. Where within the conditioned world, there are dhammas. There are essential dhammas. There is a mark of a self, a mark of living beings, mark of life, the phenomenal world. They exist. That's why the Four Noble Truths exist. Birth, old age, sickness and death exist. Separation exists. But in true emptiness, all this does not exist. So that is the meaning of understanding the conditioned world and the unconditioned. Then only you can manifest and share and teach. That's why when he teaches, he says, we are all born of our karma. Remember the five daily contemplation, the last one? Why did he ask you to reflect and contemplate every day? And why did he use the mark? We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. What is that we or the I? What is it? Huh? It's referring to the form and mind within the conditioned world. Understand? That's why there are marks. But the person who understands beyond mark, just like Huineng's teaching, when you realize the stages of cultivation, you can still teach using mark. But you understand that all these are without mark. It's just like what I share with you all. Remember? This brother Teo that you call, you think is me. It's not me, but this one is karmically conditioned out a vehicle and a tool for it to come, for the nature to come, to manifest, to share, to fulfill its vow, and do all those things within the conditioned world. And within that, there are marks. But the nature's understanding is without mark. That's why it appears very confusing, understand? Because it's referring to both the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma. You have to develop the wisdom of the ultimate truth and the conventional truth. That's why in true emptiness, all this does not exist. So when you understand that, you penetrate the Buddha Dhamma. You penetrate all of the teaching of Sakyamuni. And you will become very different, very beautiful. And this you, which is a mark within the conditioned world, is without mark. Because it refers to that nature. You remember inside there, chapter 30? He said, all those modes of dust, no matter how big they are, the world system, you polarize them. Because this one don't have a nature. Do you understand? All these elements, must, they don't have a nature. Why? Because they don't have mind, understand? So no mind, no moral causation, no karmic nature. No mind cannot cultivate, cannot develop the perfection. There is no spiritual nature. That's why they are without nature. Now you understand? Huh? Can follow or not? You cannot follow, better let me know. Huh? Because today is our last sharing on the Diamond Sutta. Okay? Then we go on. We look at Shenhua's commentary, see what he said. His commentary, sometimes they will describe to you the normal Mahayana's understanding of the teaching. Subhati said that someone who holds the opinion that the Buddha spoke of a views of self, others, living being and alive, does not understand the doctrine which the Buddha taught. That person has not reached an understanding of the doctrine of the emptiness of people, of phenomena, of emptiness itself, found in the Prajna teaching, that's like Diamond Sutta teaching, or the Heart Sutta teaching, which expresses the principle of emptiness. Earlier on, the Buddha has spoken of the marks of self, others, living being, and alive. Then at this point, he spoke of the views of self, of others, of living beings, and of alive. What is the difference between marks and views? Marks are external objects with which one becomes involved through the eye organ. Views, on the other hand, are discrimination of the mind to which one becomes attached and at which one grasps. Views are subtle attachment. Marks are gross or coarse attachment. The superficial outer marks are easy to discard, but it is very difficult to obliterate the subtle attachment of the mind consciousness. Therefore, the Buddha mentioned both to enable people not only to subdue their mind and leave marks, but to also to subdue their mind and eradicate the views. When one separates from views, one can truly arrive at the state of the emptiness of people, of phenomena, and of emptiness itself. But the Buddha only spoke of those views from the standpoint of common truth. This is conventional truth. If explained in terms of ultimate truth, or here Shenhua used the word actual truth, they are not views. When expressed from the standpoint of the middle way, see? The middle path again, the middle way. Therefore, they are called the views of self, view of others, view of living beings, and view of life. Originally, there are no marks and no views. But in the wonderful Dhamma of Prajna, the Buddha gives them false name. That's why this is the explanation. The Buddha has to come to the conditioned world to teach. Understand? That's why all this name, mark, all has to arise. Because it's within the conditioned world. But when he teaches the understanding that they are all without mark. Because when you penetrate them, you will come to realize their characteristics. And they are not what you think. So this is what the teaching is all about. That's why it's very profound, very beautiful. Not only are the views of self, of others, of living beings, and of a life that way, all phenomena should thus be known, thus view, thus believe, and understand all phenomena, and do not endow the Dhamma with marks. That means do not attach to any of the Dhamma. This one is the four special stanza unique to the Diamond Sutta. It's a very profound wisdom. All Dhamma spoken by the Buddha was for the sake of the mind of living being. If there were no mind, of what use would Dhamma be? So it points clearly to the importance of mind. That's why the Buddha also in the Dhammapada verse expressed the importance of mind. He said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. And when mind arises, everything arises. That's why we are the greatest creator. Yeah. That's why consciousness, which is mind, is the greatest magician. You remember? The five aggregate analogy. Yeah. So this is what the meaning is. Then the sutta continues. The mark of Dhamma are spoken of by the Tathagata as no mark of the Dhamma. Therefore, they are called mark of the Dhamma. They are merely given a false name. So this one all explained already. Huh? The Vajra Sutra expresses prajna, which is wisdom, the wonderful principle of true emptiness, and also expressed the Dhammadhar of equality found within the wonderful principle of prajna. In general, there are five aspects of equality evidence in the sutta. The equality of living beings and Buddhas, the equality of emptiness and existence, the equality of all Dhammas, the equality of one and many, the equality of all views. Most people do not understand equality Dhammadhar, so they put a head on top of head, add marks to marks, and change what is basically equal to what is unequal. So these are all the division and the dualities. The equality of living beings and Buddhas. When I was 16, I wrote a mesh couplet upon reading the Six Patriarch Sutta, having lectured to the place where the text say, Dhamma is not sudden or gradual. Confusion and enlightenment are slow and quick. I thought, how can there still be a sudden and gradual? What is sudden? What is gradual? Are sudden and gradual different? Are they two? So I wrote the following. Although sudden and gradual are different, upon completion they are one. Why make division of north and south? Sagely and common are parts of the one. The basic nature is absolutely the same. Do not discuss east and west. So this is to do away with all the duality and division, because they are just the way they are. That's why you must have this wisdom to see things as they are. Suchness, the reality, the truth, no word, no description, cannot describe. That's why it's the same. Whatever you name it, label it, is your idea, your concept, your views, your opinion. And these are the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why the ultimate truth, the unconditioned Dhamma, there is no such thing. He no you, he no me. Everything is just the way it is. No word, nothing. Yeah. Although sudden and gradual are different, upon completion they are one. Are these all repeated? Eh? The same. Yeah. So all this the same. Eh? Why make division? Okay. We move on. Huh? Why make division of north and south? This one is referring to the Six Patriarchs. The south refers to the Six Patriarchs, the great master Huining, who taught sudden teaching. North refers to the great master Sensiu, who advocate gradual teaching. In the south, the Six Patriarchs' disciples said, we are the true, authentic Zen sect. In the north, the disciple of great master Sensiu said, our master was with the fifth patriarch for several decades. All the mind dhamma of the fifth patriarch has been transmitted to him. Each following of the disciple argued that their master was authentic. Let me make clear at this point that no matter whom you meet, you should not try to assist your master by pleading his case. Instead of asserting that your master transmits the proper Dhamma, you may say our master is empty, false and unreal. This is good. There is no Dhamma which can be spoken. There is no truth, no false, no right and no wrong. One should not speak of people's good point or their fault. That is what you should say. Do not be like the disciple of the sixth patriarch and the great master Sun Tzu, who carry on a running battle in which they criticize one another's teacher. Their quarrel grew until it became the division into southern and crucial teaching, north and south. When I read the sixth patriarch sutta, I thought that the reference to sudden and gradual lack equality. So I wrote the line, although sudden and gradual are different, upon completion they are one. What is the origin of sudden? Although one suddenly attains enlightenment, one cultivates life after life for a long time within the Buddha Dhamma prior to their enlightenment. When one reaps the fruits of that long process of cultivation, that is called sudden. Gradual refer to a long process of cultivation, but the day the cultivation is complete, there is sudden enlightenment. For that reason, I say there is no sudden or gradual. So this is Chen Hua's explanation, which is quite good. Why make division of north and south? How much the less are there distinction, like location and other things? So this one we all can skip. Sagely and common are parts of one. All this can skip. East and west all can skip. Then we go to equality or emptiness and existence. The sixth patriarch sutta said, when asked about emptiness, answer with existence. What is emptiness? Emptiness is existence. What is existence? Existence is emptiness. How can you say emptiness is existence and existence is emptiness? That is too confusing, you may say. Is it the principle that is confused, or it is you or I who is confused? When you are confused, you think that emptiness is emptiness and existence is existence. When the confusion is clear, you know that emptiness and existence are equal. Do not attach to either annihilation or externalism. The equality or non-duality of existence, of emptiness and existence is called the middle way. See, it's the one that I explained, transcend duality, no more argument. Here, true emptiness does not obstruct wonderful existence, and wonderful existence does not obstruct true emptiness. True emptiness is wonderful existence. Wonderful existence is true emptiness. When there is existence, then emptiness manifests. When there is emptiness, then existence is apparent. There is no emptiness, and there is no existence. They are not two. The non-duality of emptiness and existence is the equality of emptiness and existence. This is just the explanation by Xuan Hua. Similarly, you can read through the rest, the equality of Dhamma. The Vajra Sutta said the Dhamma is level and equal without high and low. Therefore, it's called Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. That is the equality of Dhamma. The Tathagata never come nor go. That is the equality of Dhamma. The equality of one and many, the equality of all views. What is views of self, of others, view of living beings and view of life? There is none. That is the equality of all views. Medicine is prescribed according to sickness. But once cured, you no longer take the medicine. If you remain on medication after the illness has been cured, further illness will result. That is the equality of all views. Those five aspects express the essence of the entire Vajra Sutta, means to transcend duality, division and other things. They are actually one. That's why it is the reality, the truth, suchness. But to understand prajna, the principle of emptiness, one further thing is needed, faith. That's why sadha is very important. You must have faith. If you do not believe the principle of emptiness, then no matter how often it's explained, it will do you no good. The Buddha Dhamma is like the great sea. Only by faith can one enter. And this is very true. You must have faith. I remember when I started cultivation, The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I have great faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why after that, that faith took me along. Then when I met my teachers, I have faith in them too. And that really helped me so much. Yeah. When you have faith, doesn't mean you believe them, understand? Faith means you are confident that they have the teaching. They understand the teaching. Then you just have to listen attentively. If it's the truth, it will go in. It will stand up to investigation. That's what faith is all about. It's not blind faith. It's faith through understanding, through putting to investigation, through realizing the truth that is being shared. Okay, last chapter. Chapter 32, page 189. Good. So we can finish, huh? Oh, very good. Not that many pages, huh? Sabati, someone, sorry, the title, the response and transformation body are unreal. Sabati, someone might feel measures, asankhayas of world system with the seven treasures or seven precious gems and give them as a gift. But if a good man or a good woman who has resolved his mind on Bodhi were to take from this sutta even as few as four lines or stanza of verse and receive, hold, read, recite, and extensively explain them for others, his blessing would surpass the others. So this one I explained before. The Diamond Sutta cultivation of Nomak is supreme. That's why the merits, even from understanding four lines or stanza, the merits is way beyond whatever that people do, even comparing to those that offer the seven treasure in this universe to all the Buddhas of the 3000 world system. They use here the word measureless, means limitless, asankhayas of world system. Realizing that some people are willing to give as a gift as many as the seven precious gems as would fill measureless asankhaya kapas of world system, you should ask yourself, can I give away all my wealth? If you cannot, your merits and virtue are not as great as that person mentioned in this sutta. However, you cannot give up your wealth. It does not matter. Keep it and come to study the Buddha Dhamma. Then you can give away Dhamma. Perhaps in studying the Buddha Dhamma, one learns to recite the Vajra Sutta or as little as four-line gatha from it. One accepts it with one's mind, maintain it with one's body, read it from a book, recite it from memory, and extensively explain it to others. If you can do that, your blessing and virtue are greater than those of someone who gives away gems which would fill limitless, numberless world system. Isn't that easy? That's why I say you can obtain great merits and virtue without necessarily giving up your wealth. So this is Xuanhua's advice to you. If you want to have a lot of merits, limitless, where there is no comparison to any amount of dana parami, generosity parami, you should learn the Vajra Sutta, the Diamond Sutta. Then the next section of the sutta says, how should it be explained to others? With no grasping at mark, thus unmoving. This one is very profound. And why? This one is the famous four stanza. All conditioned phenomena are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. Like dewdrops and a lightning flash. Contemplate them thus. The Mandarin version are more beautiful. We all used to share them. You all heard before. Each year you wei fa, ru mong huan pao yin, zulu ilu tian, ying zuo 如是观。So the meaning is very beautiful. So here the English translation is not so good. 一切如微法。The condition Dhamma, the whole of the universe, within the condition world. That's why they are called condition Dhamma. Everything within the condition world, they are condition Dhamma. That's why 一切有为法，有为法 are condition Dhamma. They belong to the condition world. 如梦幻泡影，梦 is dream.幻 is illusion, 泡 bubble, 影 is shadow. They are like dream state, an illusion, like bubble and shadow. So how real can they be? Then some of these phenomena are very fast, like a dewdrop and a lightning flash.Because split second is gone, that's like a lightning flash. But some of these phenomena, they last longer, like a dew. Early morning, how does the dew get formed? How does the dew get formed? Yeah, condensation, which means they call it the dew point. Understand? So,you have this humidity within the atmosphere, or within your environment. Then at night, what happens? When the temperature drops to very low, then when it hit below the dew point, it will form dew, understand? That's why it condenses and become water. So this one, if you understand, you are not grubs. You understand the meaning? He said everything within the condition world, they are like what? Dream state, illusion, bubble and shadow. How real are they? What is a dream?Any reality or not? Illusion means what? Like consciousness. How real can it be? How real can consciousness be? It's just an image, isn't it? A mind state, isn't it? So far, like a lightning flash is gone. Come and go, come and go. Your feeling also, like bubble, gone.Then like shadow follow you around. It's a reflection. How real can it be? Then it's like a dew and a lightning flash. You should contemplate it thus. Then you will understand the beauty of this teaching. That's why he said, extensively explain them for others, refer to literal prajna. Literary prajna. With no grasping at mark.Refers to contemplative prajna. So these are the three turning wisdom. Thus I'm moving, refer to the real mark, prajna. Prajna is wisdom. Prajna was discussed at the beginning of the sutta and at the end of the text again. Make reference to prajna. When you explain a sutra for others, you should not become attached to mark.You should not think I am gaining a lot of merits and virtue by explaining the four line gata. When you have that thought, you are gone, understand? The mark of a self is there, understand? Means you don't understand the Diamond Sutta. That's why it's not easy to have that type of merits. The egoic mind, they are still very, very strong and very powerful within the mind of a lot ofcultivator, especially the Theravada tradition, it's very difficult for them to understand the teaching of no mark. Not even monks, not easy. Although you are correct and your merits and virtue are great, you should not harbor a mark of their size. If you do, you grasp at marks and become attached to them. If you are able to refrain from grasping at marks, then the existence is as if non-existent, and the actual is as if empty. Basically, someone with way virtue is as if devoid of way virtue. A man who is truly educated is as if devoid of education. That means that at all time, in all place, you should be free of mark of a self. So this is very, very important, and the teaching is indeed very profound. Then thus, thus unmoving is real mark prajna. This one also in the Platform Sutta last Sunday we also went through. It is true actual wisdom by means of the principle of suchness. See, the word suchness is there. One can understand the wisdom of suchness means sitting as they are. And with the wisdom of suchness, one can understand the principle of suchness. There is no Dhamma which is not thus. That is real mark prajna. And why? Why does one need literary, contemplative, and real mark prajna? Sakyamuni Buddha spoke four lines of verse which those who study the Vajra Sutra should regularly recite. It's the same, the same four line stanza. Each year you wave, Ru Mong Huan Pao Ying, Zu Ru Ilu Tian, Ying Zhou Ru Si Quan. So everything within the conditioned world, they are just the conditioned Dhamma, not real, dependent originating, conditioned arising. That's why they are like dream state, illusion, bubbles and shadow. Then they are like dewdrops and a lightning flash. Contemplate them thus, then you will awaken. So everything is conditioned phenomena or conditioned Dhamma. Eating, wearing clothes, walking, standing. This is referring to daily mindfulness. Sitting, lying down, running a business. All activities are conditioned Dhamma or conditioned phenomena. Those are examples of external conditioned Dhamma or phenomena. There are also the five skandhas. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, which are conditioned Dhamma too. The four principal elements, the earth element, water element, fire and wind element, are also conditioned Dhamma. The six roots, the six dust, the 12 places, and the 18 sense rhyme are all conditioned phenomena. All these phenomena, whether external or internal, are like dream state, illusion, bubbles, and shadow. What is a dream? No one knows. If we knew, then we would not dream. People are in the perpetual dream. If you can see your mundane mind or heedless mind, you are aware of it. Then you understand this statement of Jianhua. People are in a continuous state, perpetual dream. When you fall asleep and dream, you are unaware of the thing which exists in your ordinary waking state. And when you awaken from the dream, you usually cannot remember the events of the dream. In the same way, you are unable to remember the events of our former lives because they have disappeared in this present life's dream. Someone may have a dream in which he becomes wealthy, is appointed as an official, and is on the verge of becoming president, when suddenly someone else said to him, "Sir, you are actually having a dream." But in the midst of his dream of riches and position, the person cannot believe what he told. "Everything that is happening to me is real," he said. "I'm wealthy, I'm an official, I'm a candidate for president. How can you say that I'm dreaming?" However, when he awakens from his dream, he will know without being told that all those events happen in a dream. So too, we people are as if in a dream. Now I will tell you, this is a dream. Although I have told you, surely you will reply, "What do you mean a dream? This is all real. These things are actually happening. How can you say it's a dream?" You cheat people. When your cultivation is accomplished, you will awaken from this dream and know without being told that everything you did in the past was a dream. The reason you do not believe me when I tell you that you are dreaming is that you still have not awakened from your dream. When you awaken, you will agree, yes, it was all a dream. So dream, if you really understand, you see, what we call life, existence, within this conditioned world, do you think it's real? Yeah? Do you think it's real? The emptiness book you read in there, as real as it can be, what is it? It's only within the moment, isn't it? Split second, that moment is gone, understand not? So how real can it be? That's why it's not what you think. It's actually like a dream. Everything is just like a dream. There is no reality. The reality is the moment. We already went through, isn't it? Life or existence can be equated to time. And the whole spectrum of time is past, present, and future, isn't it? Past already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. The only reality is what? The present moment, isn't it? And how stable and how real is the present moment? Split second is dead and gone. The moment we talk about it is gone. And you don't have the mindfulness, the heedfulness, and the awareness. You are totally heedless, lost in thought, dreaming. You never leave. You understand? That's why it's like a dream state. Illusion is worse, like a magician. Eh? Then bubble, shadow, and all this thing. Yeah? We still got time. Eh? Okay, we go through it. Yeah? Illusion are unreal, like a magician's trick. Eh? This one we understand. The magician's recites a mantra, and a lotus flower suddenly appear in the water, or in the midst of a fire, or he may cause a piece of chick suddenly to appear as if from nowhere. A magician appears to have spiritual penetration and wonderful functioning, but what he does is unreal, although it seems real. If you investigate, it is seen to be illusionary, non-existent. Such act as the lotus in a flower can fool children or fools into believing the lotus is real. But an adult can take one look and know that it is a trick. When you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you know that everything is empty and illusionary. This is a powerful statement. Eh? The world is empty and illusionary. Realize from a conflux of condition which only seems to be real. The word very important, seems to be real, yeah? But not what you think. When you do not understand the Buddha Dhamma, you are like the child and the fool who consider everything to be real. This is not to belittle people. It is a simple fact. People who do not understand the Buddha Dhamma think that being wealthy is real and think that official position actually exists. In actuality, everything is one. A person is the same whether he is rich or impoverished. If you understand that everything is empty and illusory, then you cannot be confused by anything. You will not become attached to unreal states. Then bubble is also basically unreal and quickly disappear to show their emptiness, just like the feeling, arise and pass away. The shadow follow people around. When there is form, then there is a shadow. The form is actually substance. The shadow is empty. If explained in more depth, even form itself is empty and totally unreal. If you do not believe that, then just continue to be attached to your body. Protect and maintain it and see whether it is real or not. Whether or not it finally go the way of nature. Here he used the word die. Like a dewdrop and a lightning flash, you look outside early in the morning, you will find dew. But after sunrise, the dew will disappear. A lightning flash is also impermanent. Contemplate them thus. You should look upon all conditioned things in this way. If you do, then heaven will be empty and the earth will be void. The measure of your heart will be as vast as the heavens and as broad as empty space, free of impediment. Without impediment, there is no fear. This is from the Heart Sutta. I have no fear. I have never been afraid of anything from the moment I was born. Dead man, living man, strange essence of weird creature, tiger, lions, I fear none of them. Bring me a tiger and I will turn it into a kitten, try it out. I can be this way because I have no obstruction with me. Everything is okay. Yeah, everything is like a dewdrop and a lightning flash, like dream, illusion, bubbles and shadow. Then what can obstruct? There are no obstruction, and so there is no fear. The Heart Sutta say, when there is no impediment, there is no fear. With no fear, upside down dream-like thought are left far behind. Therefore I said, I do not fear tiger. You do not believe me. Bring a tiger and I will sit in meditation beside it. After the Buddha spoke this sutta, the elder, Subhati, all the bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upaseka, upasaka, upasika, and the world, with its gods, men, and asura, heard what the Buddha had said, rejoice, believe, receive, revert, and practice. So this is the end of Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should rejoice. So we see what Shenhua's commentary is, the final page. After the Buddha has finished speaking the Prajna of true emptiness, the Vajra Sutta, the elder Subhati, who had 10 kinds of virtuous conduct, the bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, the lay people, lay woman, the god, people as well as asura, who had blessings of the heaven, but not the status, upon hearing the prajna of wonderful existence and true emptiness, give rise to great joy, believe, accepted, and respectfully practice the sutta. All were as happy as if they obtained a precious gem, and they had the jewel of wisdom, the Dhamma jewel of prajna. They believed. They lost all their desire, casting them aside. I hope that when we finish studying the Vajra Sutta, you can cast all your upside-down thought far away. Rid yourself of enjoyment of food. Rid yourself of desire of sleep. Banish your striving for fame. Abolish your urge to become rich. Cast all the aspect of your heart's desire to some far away place. You can rid yourself of the desire for wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep. You can cut out the roots of hell and advance to the fruit position of Buddha land, the eternal bright pure land. This is the end of the Vajra Sutta. Everybody who studies the sutta should transform his body so that it becomes as durable as Vajra. He should make his vow, his determination, and his faith as sharp as Vajra. See, the vow, the determination or affirmation, and faith is very important. It has to be very, very stable, yeah? And done with understanding and faith. And he should make his wisdom as bright as Vajra. He should completely accept the wonderful principle of prajna and personally practice it in order for there to be prajna paramita arrival at the other shore. Those who practice will not fall behind. Do not fall behind. Be courageous and forge ahead. Go forward, every one of you, with vigor. Be determined to be the first to realize Buddhahood. Why then, you ask? Has the master made the vow not to realize Buddhahood until every single one of his disciples has become a Buddha? This is what Shenhua's vow is. So he always plead to the disciple, please be diligent, otherwise you will leave me behind. Do not imitate me. I'm just a worthless person. I've already forgotten myself. The reason I have come is to help others. I have come to plant the field. But I pay no attention to my own field. So do not concern about me. For all you know, I may have run ahead of you. See? The hint is, he may run ahead of you without you knowing. So, exactly 10:30, we finish the Diamond Sutta. See the sound. Exactly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. My wife's alarm clock also ring. See. Chun chun, cha bihun. Meant to be. It's a very beautiful sutta. For those who can understand, I rejoice. And it's going to transform your understanding of the Buddha Dhamma and the cultivation. The moment you have this understanding, I tell you, your cultivation is way beyond the thought-based people. They can do whatever merits, dana offering and parami. They can go and pay all the respect. But nowhere when compared to somebody who knows this sutta. Completely no comparison at all. But we are not talking about the greed for all this. But it's the nature's way of delivering the merits and blessing. Because when you have that type of understanding, your merits and your virtue become very different. And that will refer to your nature, spiritual nature. And also, of course, your karmic nature. It's not a being, it's not a person receiving it. That's why there is no mark. And everything is nature's law recorded somewhere. So all this understanding will come to you. Okay? Now we end. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer merits, then you make your aspiration. Okay, starting with the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Regarding that book, Life of the Buddha, by Narada, who can help to get a copy?
You have a copy.